Good morning. Good to see each of you here this morning. Good to be with you. Brother Garth has given out papers there for you to follow along with what we've been looking at over the last three Sundays. If you don't have enough, maybe we can share. I think I made 30 copies. Thank you, Brother Garth, Brother Chris. Just before we open the Word this morning, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this privilege that we can share your Word. We pray that you may just use it today to challenge our hearts afresh as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at this morning for our main scripture verse in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We have been studying the last three Sundays, and we're going to finish it this Sunday. And I said as we begin this three Sundays ago that it was a study that I had gotten just a couple of days, actually about a week before I left home. And so I've been going through it with you. I've gotten a blessing and a challenge from studying it, and I trust that you have too. We've been looking at a personal relationship with God. A personal relationship with God. And just briefly, I'll go over what we've looked at, because I see some of you that weren't here the last couple of Sundays. And it will also refresh the memories of those of us that have been here for the three Sundays. Personal relationship with God. We suggested in the first Sunday that relationship with God has many of the same characteristics as we have in a personal relationship in our life. A relationship that exists between two people. We become very close, closely entwined. And we find in that relationship, and I'm just going to go through this briefly for the sake of time this morning, because I've got quite a bit I want to look at in this last study. We find that relationship includes a mutual recognition. We each know the other. A mutual openness, we can approach each other. A mutual interest, we share with each other. And most importantly of all, a mutual respect. We honor each other. These are the important characteristics in our Christian life, in our Christian service, in our walk with the Lord. There were six areas that we suggested we would like to look at, which is imperative in our Christian life and in our Christian service, essential to a closer walk with the Lord. And that's a desire. It should be the desire of the heart of every believer to have a close personal relationship and a close walk with the Lord each day of our lives. On the first Sunday, we looked at two areas. First one was a spiritual relationship with the Lord, and that is essential. And in that spiritual relationship, we looked at three areas. We do not have to see him visibly. We do not have to hear him audibly. And to be close to God is not a matter of location. That's an area that I think that many people are confused in life and in our Christian service. We feel that we have to come to the house of God to be close to God. And that's not so. We bring God with us when we come to this house. This is the building that's been dedicated to the service of God. But God lives within our hearts and lives. We take him with us wherever we go. We have the Holy Spirit that's given to us as believers. So no matter where we go, at home, he's there. At work, he's there. If we go off fishing or whatever our job might be, he's there. We come to church, we bring him with us. He's here. And that should be the way that we live. That should be the type of relationships that we have. We also suggested that to know God is not just a matter of knowing about him. We all know about him. I can remember from a little boy, and all of you can, our parents took us to Sunday school or sent us to Sunday school. And so we knew about God. Lots of things we knew about God. But to have a personal relationship with him is an altogether different story. When you know God is when you commit your life and you surrender your life to him, and he comes in and changes your life
and the Holy Spirit lives within, who then becomes our teacher, our guide throughout our lives. That is when we know God. We also suggested that there is a Christ-centered relationship. Christ must be the central theme of the life of a believer. He can't be the sidekick. He can't be out there just to use him for convenience sake. Jesus Christ and the life of a believer must be the central theme of our lives. He must be first and foremost in all of our lives and all that we do. We must remember, as we suggested, that Christianity is Christ. Christianity is not a man. It's not a preacher. So oftentimes we all get carried away with great preachers, and oh, we love great preachers, great man, even a great man like Billy Graham. Billy Graham is just a man. But Billy Graham is a man with a personal relationship with God. And it's not Billy Graham that does the work or any other man. It is the Spirit of God working through him because of the life that he lives that is pleasing to God. And it is the same thing in your life and mine. Christianity is Christ and him alone. We looked also at the fact that of the Apostle Paul, his obsession was not with the system, but his obsession was with Jesus Christ. He said, to know him, to be like him, to die for him. This was the obsession of the Apostle Paul, which should be the obsession for your life and mine. Last Sunday, we looked at the other two, and we suggested there must be a submissive relationship as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have a rebellious relationship with God. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. There must be a submissive relationship in our life. We must be willing to submit to God. We must, again, put him first in our lives and to honor him and everything. There were two areas that we looked at in that section. Number one, God was to be feared more than all others. And we suggested that that fear of God is not fearing him as a tyrant, as one who stands there with a sword or with something that will destroy us immediately, but we fear him because we love him. We love him. We trust him. Secondly, we suggested that God is to be loved, trusted, and obeyed more than all other things in our lives. We also looked at there must be a mutual relationship, a dual relationship, a recognition. We recognize God. God recognizes us for what we are, the lives that we live, the openness, the interest that we share, the respect that we have for each other. In that area, we looked at the fact that to know God is to affect him. You can say, well, how can I affect God? I'm just a mere human being. We can affect God. We affect God by the lives that we live. And we suggested that when we're happy, God's happy. When we're sorrowing, he sorrows. And when we're bad, he grieves. And also, we suggested that to know God is to be affected by him. And we looked at areas where there have been people in our personal lives, in our growth, that have had a tremendous effect on our lives down through the years. We've looked at them in areas of life that they've led us sort of through. They've been our examples. This is what God wants us to be, to allow him to affect our lives. This morning, we want to finish, with the time remaining, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul, writing there, says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. First of all, we want to look at this morning, there is a growing relationship. We grow. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we don't just sit there. There are four areas, four stages of spiritual growth in a Christian life. And they are this. The first stage is a baby stage. I'm going to go through some of this morning, and I might have to rush it for the sake of time, but hopefully enough that we can allow the Lord to speak to our hearts, to understand. A baby stage is that a baby thinks only of itself. If denied the things it desires, it'll raise a ruckus. It seeks its own. Its feelings are easily hurt. It's often jealous. A baby lives to be served. It never serves. It drinks milk. It cannot eat strong meat. It cries, but it never sings. It tries to talk, but often never makes sense. And these infant characteristics are so prominent in the lives of many believers because they have been born into a family of God and we have failed to grow spiritually in the Lord. The Apostle Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, which I'll share with you this morning. In speaking to the Corinthian church, he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you jealousy and strife and factions or divisions, are you not carnal and walk according to man?" So what Paul is saying there to this group of Corinthians, that though they have received the gospel, they haven't grown. They've been satisfied to stay right where they are in their Christian life and experience. There's four areas here that I want to share with you this morning in this growing relationship. Number one, we must expect a process. There must be a process in our Christian life and our Christian growth. To grow takes equal amounts of diligence or, you see, I've got there in inverted commas, stickability, patience. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we make a commitment in our lives to love Him, to serve Him, to trust Him. We have to maintain that. We have to maintain that growth. We have to maintain that stickability. We must have that patience. How many times in our Christian life and experience that things haven't crossed our pathway that have created problems in our lives that have caused us to stop and think and oftentimes perhaps have discouraged us. We've lost patience. We must never be satisfied with the level of our relationship and understanding of God. If we are, we will stop, we will turn sour, and go backwards. And this is so true. This is so true in our relationship with the Lord. We must never be satisfied where we are. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul reminds us of this, and I'll share that with you this morning. In verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." That word apprehended there means to understand. Paul says, I still do not yet understand it all about God. And if ever there was a man that had knowledge of God, that had walked with the Lord, that had been instructed by God, was this man Paul. But yet he could write these words and say, I still do not yet fully understand it all. I have not arrived. I don't know it all. There is much more to learn. Beloved, and that's the attitude that you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to take if we're going to grow in the knowledge of His Word, if we're going to increase our faith in God, if we're going to believe His Word, if we're going to walk the Christian life and live lives that are pleasing to God. We cannot come to that point where we're just satisfied to be in a baby stage in our understanding of God. And the one thing that we don't want to do in our lives is to go backward. No. God has called us from sin God has called us from a downward road. He's placed our feet on solid ground, and He has so much more to offer, and we don't want to start going back. We don't want to start going back. We want to continue going on for the Lord. There's also a little child stage in growing for the Lord. Some Christians grow to be little children spiritually, but they stop there. And these are some of the characteristics of children. We're often untruthful, envious, cruel. If rebuked, they become martyrs. If crossed, they're resentful, and they often make scenes. They're talebearers, repeating everything they hear. They're given to emotional outbursts. They love praise, will accept it from any source. They seek only the things that appeal to self. So that's at the little child stage. Then we can grow to the young man stage. Spiritual growth to that of a young man is not reached by many. He is strong. He's well able to overcome his enemy. He has vision for the future and faith and courage to tackle it, preparing for his productive years. Then finally, there is the father stage. This stage of spiritual development can be reached by all, but so few ever attain it. And here's some of the characteristics of that father stage in our spiritual life. The spiritual father has peace with God. He knows the peace of God. He rejoices in his spiritual children. He has learned contentment under all circumstances. He knows the only source of true strength. He does not brood over the past, but he looks to the future. He knows that all things work together in his life for his eternal good. He enjoys abundant life now and will enjoy it in the life to come. Beloved, this morning, those are the four stages of our spiritual life. Each of us individually determine what stage that we are in life. Whether we're happy to stay where we are when we accept the Lord, or whether we want to move on and grow. And there is that process. There has to be that process in our lives. Secondly, it requires time. We must be patient. We must not expect more of God or more of ourselves than God expects from us. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Peter writes, "As newborn babies, long for the spiritual milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If you and I have tasted of the Lord, we've tasted of His graciousness, then the desire of our hearts should be to long for that spiritual growth, that word, the milk of the word. This is where we grow. And you know something? For all of us, and I would not be an hypocrite and stand up here before you this morning and say that I'm better than any of you. Absolutely not. God forbid. We all fail to get into that word. This is where, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we get our food. We grow from reading God's word. We grow from letting God speak to our heart from His word. And unfortunately, we all fail. We use it many times as the last resort. Many times. And I admit that even in my own personal life. There's so many other things that seem to be going on in our lives that we don't get into God's word as we should. And beloved, that's there for us to go by. That's our food. The more we read, the greater we'll grow. The stronger we get in the Lord. The greater knowledge we have of the things of God through His word. Let's continue by the grace of God to read it. Secondly, we must expect change. One thing we can be sure of, our relationship with the Lord will change. It will either change for the better or the worse, but it will change. Two reasons. As we go forward, we will always find more knowledge and more experience about God to broaden our minds and our hearts and to make us better. And I trust this morning as we've gathered here that each of us can say that today right now, as we sit here in this Sunday school, that we have grown in our knowledge, in our understanding, in our faith in God, more than when we first accepted Him as our Savior. We know more of Him. We understand more about Him. We grow stronger in Him because we've been able to study His Word and to allow Him to speak to our hearts, to change us, to broaden our minds. I was saying to a brother, even while I've been here, we can take God's Word, and I find it many times in my ministry, in preparing sermons. I can take a passage of Scripture and there get a sermon. And I can go back to that same passage of Scripture, and from that same passage of Scripture, I can get an altogether different sermon. That's the beauty of God's Word. It's alive. It's alive. And the more we read it, the more our minds expand, the more the Holy Spirit opens up our understanding and our wisdom of what God's Word is all about. But it can change for the worse if we begin to be happy to coast along in our Christian life, if we're happy just to rely on past experiences on our life to carry us along. There is one thing that we need to remember as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is so important, that the devil will not be satisfied until he neutralizes our lives so that we slip into a spiritual coma. I never looked at it that way until I was reading this manual, and this is a fact. There is nothing in this world that the devil would like to do than to get you and I satisfied of where we are. And he gets us into a spiritual coma so that our relationship with God, although it can never be lost as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that our relationship with God will be almost nil. Almost to a point where we're just satisfied to say, I'm a Christian, and that's it. Our hearts grow colder. Our character will either deepen or thin out. Our conversations with God will become either more intimate or less meaningful and less frequent. And this is what happens if we allow Satan to neutralize us in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we must allow for incompleteness. For incompleteness. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 9, 10, and you have it in this sheet, and we don't have time this morning to look at all of that. He speaks about our knowledge and our experiences. Incomplete. Again, we can go back to what we said earlier about the Apostle Paul. He said, I have not yet arrived. I don't know all. It's this morning as if we're looking to God through a glass. It is a clouded glass. But the Scripture says that one day, praise God, when we come to the end of life, it will be face to face. We see as a clouded glass now. But one day we're going to stand face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to trust God. We are to love God. We are to love God's imperfect family with all of our heart. These are essentials. We read of this in 1 John, of the love of God, of our love for God, of our love for our fellow man. The reason being, God is love. And we have to learn to love our fellow man as well as love God. The Bible says that how can we love God if we do not love those whom we see every day? We must love each other as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts, recognizing that in every life, there will be failures. There is not one of us that's perfect. The only man that the Scriptures ever records that God has said is perfect was Job. And on two occasions he said to Satan, Ab, you considered my servant Job, who is a perfect and upright man. All of the other great men that we read of in the Bible, never before. We know that They were God's people because God used them in marvelous ways. But Job, he said, he is perfect and upright in all of his ways. None of us have reached that stage, and we never will in this life. But we have to work towards that imperfection, that perfection in our lives. We have to work out the imperfections in our lives and work towards perfection. But that perfection will never come in this life. That perfection will come when we stand face to face with Jesus Christ. Then and only then will we be perfect. As long as we are in this life, we are incomplete. And what God is looking for in our lives, in your life and mine, is our meekness and our humility, not our spiritual perfection. He's looking for our meekness. He's looking for our humility. And as we build our characters in meekness and humility, then we work toward that day, that glorious day of spiritual perfection. Fourthly, we must not expect heaven now. We must not expect heaven now. You know, we're living in a sin-cursed world. We're living here amongst our fellow men, and we're not living in heaven. We're going to live in heaven someday, but we're not living in heaven now. Not only is it important to give ourselves time to grow, but it's essential that we take the time to let Him show Himself absolutely faithful and satisfying to us. We are not to expect now what He has promised us for eternity. We are a people of eternity. There's better things ahead. There's a better life ahead for all of God's people. We're going to leave this scene. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Someone emailed to me the other day, and it was quite touching, and I have a few minutes I can share that with you this morning. It was a story of a young lady that had loved the Lord, that had committed her life to the Lord, and she had come to this point where she was about to die. And she called in her pastor, and she said to him, "When I die, I want you to see that there is a spoon placed in my hand, a fork." Right, my wife just corrected me. "A fork that is placed in my hand, in my casket." And he said, I just could not understand why. Why a fork in your hand? And he said, she explained to me the reason why. She said, "Pastor, you know, when you go to eat or even at home," said, "there is always two forks basically on your table." She said, "and they always say to you as they take your dishes away, keep the fork." She said, "Why?" "Because there's something better coming. That's your dessert." And for all of us with sweet tooths, we look forward to that. There's something better coming. She said, "and I want you to use this as a reminder to those people that will attend my funeral that there is something better ahead." That fork represents heaven and home. There's something better. Beloved, that's the way that we have to look at it as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not our home, and thank God it isn't. Thank God. Thank God we're not going to live here forever, because you can rest assured it's not going to get any better. It's getting worse by the day. And we all live in it. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a better home. The best is yet to come. And I like to live my life thinking that every day. The best is yet to come. Heaven and home is ahead. Jesus is there. So we are not to expect now what He has promised us for eternity. For we are a people of eternity. And one thing, when we get home, there are no time limits on our future. No time limits. We'll be there forever. So having a relationship with God is not a way to get everything we want in life. It's not the key to financial success. It's not the key to good health, a long life. But it is the way to find, and this is something that we need daily in our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not financial success. Yes, we look for good health and long life. But what's important to the believer is to have living within our hearts and lives love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's what we need. Those are the fruits of the Spirit that are there for you and I to enjoy, to help us in that personal relationship with God. Help us to grow in our Christian life, in our Christian experience. Help us to show the world around us that Jesus Christ really lives within my heart and my life. We need to believe what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 1 through 3, and perhaps most of us know that. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is the blessed hope. That's what we're looking forward. That's what we're living for. Oh, if only we as believers could get more caught up in this. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the things of the world. We get caught up in our families and in our jobs and all of the fun times in life. But beloved, if we could only get excited about going home, about seeing the Lord, about living with Him, that's what we need to do. We need to get excited. We've got a beautiful home that we're going to. And Jesus is coming back and He's coming to take us there. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to come and take you to be with me." He will provide our needs now, and thank God that He does. Thank God He only provides our needs. If God provided our wants, I don't think there'll be too many of us sitting here this morning. I don't think there'll be many of us sitting here this morning if He provided our wants. But He provides our needs according to His riches in glory. He gives us sufficient to see us through each day, one day at a time. He reserves the right to determine what is best for us now and what we will best enjoy later. Then there is a second point here before we close this morning. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11, I want to read that with you. And here we're speaking about a shared relationship. We have to share that relationship that we enjoy with our Lord. John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." It's a shared relationship. We just can't keep it to ourselves. We just got to share it. We just got to tell others. The Lord Jesus shared His love. His love is manifested in my life and your life. And we have to be willing to share it with each other. We all come to God one at a time. In a sense, we come all alone. It's our personal decision. It's our choice whether or not we're willing to enter into a personal relationship with God. And no one makes the decision for us. However, once we come to God, we are joined to Him and born into His family. How wonderful. We are all a family. You are my brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all to love each other as God loves us. A, those who love God will love one another. It is impossible. It is impossible to have a personal relationship with God without having a Christ-centered relationship with other people. We have to have that relationship. We have to share it. We have to let others see that Jesus Christ has made a difference in our lives and express it wherever we go and whatever we do. As we get to know the Lord, we'll be confronted with a God who dearly loves all these people around me, my family, my friends, my neighbors, my business associates, and I like the last part, even my enemies. Even my enemies. We've got to learn to love them. Might be difficult. Might be difficult. But we have to learn to love each other. We have to share that relationship. We might like to live in isolation, but we can't do it if we're going to grow in our relationship with God. And I like these thoughts, and I think that they're so important to you and I. Knowing God does not mean just knowing about Him, but entering into Him, His thoughts, His heart, His sacrificial love. We need to get completely in Him, and He in us. Then finally, those who love God will submit to one another. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul said, we are to submit to one another in the fear of God. And then he goes on in that chapter in verse 22. He says, wives are to serve their husbands as a means of serving the Lord. And then in verses 25 through 28, he says, husbands are to lovingly surrender their own interest in behalf of their wives, as Christ lovingly surrendered His in behalf of the church. And I got a few little question marks here on us as husbands. And then chapter 6, children are to obey their parents in the Lord. In verses 5 through 7, servants are to be obedient to their masters as means of serving the Lord. In verse 9, masters are to show consideration for their servants as we trust God and obediently serve others. We will discover deep within our own souls a righteousness, wisdom, power of the love of Christ. And this is true. And I trust that you've experienced this in your Christian life, in your Christian experience, that the more that you've tried to show your love to others, or God's love through you, the closer our relationship is with the Lord. The nearer we feel that we are in the presence of God, as we allow His love to flow through us. Oh, thank God for that love of God. The hymn writer says, and we have all heard this before, the love of God, so great, so vast, so boundless, and so free. And this morning, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are recipients of that love. Oh, wonderful love. Marvelous love of God. It is possible, as I close, to be close to Christ, yet far away from the love that He offers. This was true even amongst the 12 disciples of Christ. The most trusted one of all was the treasurer, Judas. And we know what he did. So we have to be mindful of this. Let us make sure as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we do not end up as one who presumed that to know about Christ is to know Him personally. We can't presume that. We have to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have that as we follow these 6 outlines. And I just go through them briefly as we close. There must be a spiritual relationship. There must be a Christ-centered relationship. There must be a submissive relationship, a mutual relationship, and as we were this morning, a growing and a shared relationship. I trust that that's the desires of our hearts today as we close, that we have a relationship with God. Oh, beloved, I wouldn't change it for anything, and I know that you won't either, if you know Him as your personal Savior. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts today for His name's sake. Amen. Father, thank You for the time we spent in Your Word this morning.
though we've had to go through it rather quickly. But Lord, we pray that the message has gotten across to all of our hearts, that in order to have a personal relationship with you, we need to be willing to grow. Grow not just in stage one, stage two, but to three and four, to be near to your precious bleeding side. Bless each one that's here this morning. Encourage our hearts throughout this day, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you.